This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 515. I am Brian Kilby, and with me, as always, I'm boined. I'm boined by the crazy Chris. That I just botched that.
Really, really,
really, really badly. Bad. Really bad.
Boinked?
No, boinked, not boinked. That's different. No boinking here. And I am conjoined by Don. How's it going, Don?
Fine. Apparently, this is adjective and adverb night.
This is not. No, we are now bound together by a life.
Oh, great! This is the
worst remake of the movie Twins I can imagine.
No. It's even worse. It's Energon Generation 2.
Energon Generation 2. We also have Diecast.
You know what else is pretty bad?
What?
An ashtray made out of Bumblebee in Optimus Prime's face.
That actually seems like something that we would have seen in Dark of the Moon.
Yeah.
Realistically. Or I guess Age of Extinction was not as violent as Dark of the Moon when it came to, maybe it
was.
That's
true.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't. Someone who has not watched either movie, Matt, how's it going?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
I think
for the fact that I did not get my new microphone this week.
I'm sorry. I gave you the tracking number. Hopefully the post office can give that to you.
I bet they can't.
I think I'm going to pick up Matt and drag him to this movie.
Which movie?
The new Transformers movie.
The last night.
I wouldn't advise trying.
You guys should do that.
I'll just be like, oh, we're going looking for Transformers. Come on, get in.
You realize Matt's a lot smarter than you, right?
Yeah. and you just warned him, so.
Oh, God. We also have Rob. Rob, how's it going?
Not bad.
So, Rob, tell us again what it took to get you to agree to go see The Last Night.
Bribery!
And we are also boined by John DeLuna. John, are you there? Are you playing Zelda?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
How many hours do you have left to go?
A million.
I've heard people say it's good to stop after 100, which kill me. So, I got a ways to go.
You're asked to just stop, not finish.
I wish I stopped like a week ago, but I must forge ahead. I have to beat this game.
Okay, on average, John, how many hours of gameplay are you able to squeeze in during a week on average?
Oh my God, probably like between 30 minutes and an hour at the most
per week.
Oh, per week. No, that's like, yeah. Like that's per night. So, per week, a few hours.
Yeah so like, you're going to be going through the summer.
Yeah. I'll be ready when Breath of the Wild 2 comes out. I'll be fresh off the first.
I just stopped playing
expansion pack.
Yeah, I'll just roll. Oh my. Yes. I forgot.
Wait, they're not doing an expansion pack, are they?
It's already out. Yeah, it was out the same day the game came out.
Yeah, and then they've got DLC coming out.
What?
2017. Right, it's about time. Nintendo grew up to some extent. So they're on the DLC train.
Oh, my God.
Everybody who asked Nintendo to get with the times, I hate all of them.
Remember, it's a monkey's paw.
Yeah, it is. I completely forgot that the Disney Afternoon Collection came out this week. I need to pick that up and play that this weekend.
Yeah.
A Triplets got it, and he was sharing video from it on from his PS4 yesterday on Twitter, and it looks so fun. Need it. Okay.
I never even played all those games originally.
I played about either. Half of them.
I played about half. I never did get DuckTales 2.
The game started out.
I never got to.
Go ahead, Don.
I never got any of the sequels, but I did have all the original versions, but not the sequels.
The game store down the road had DuckTales 2 for sale, and it was actually, they were selling it for under eBay prices. It was only $180.
Oh, that's all.
After like 6 months, they finally sold it. Yeah. Which is right before that game collection was announced. Okay. Hey, if you're not already, and you got a Roku, make sure you watch us on Roku. It's fun. Go to tfradio.net/Roku and subscribe, and we'll be right there on your Roku home screen. It's pretty amazing. And one more note, if you have an iOS device, and based on our web traffic, 3/4 of you do, why don't you download our podcast through the Apple Podcasts app, starting with this episode when you go to tfradio.net/515. We'll have a nice little button there where you can just go ahead and subscribe to the podcast right from the page, and it's nice and easy for you, and you will never miss another episode. It's pretty great.
I love pushing buttons.
I got my little fidget cube right here, and I'm pushing buttons on it, and it just makes my day. Also, we have something to mention. My buddy Stu reminded me about this year's Linton Experiment, which is a Transformers art auction, and all proceeds go to cancer research. It's based out of the UK, but pieces go, again, to support cancer research. You know, we need to beat cancer. Cancer is awful. It's what killed my father, both my grandfathers, and, you know, lots of other people in my family. So anytime that people want to help, you know, crush that thing, I'm always for it. So let's see here. What do we got? Here's a neat picture of Rodimus that is for auction. It's pretty neat. And that one's currently going for about £10. That's what, about $15 now with the exchange rate?
Yeah, probably about that.
So basically you can go to eBay and look for user Black_Robes, BLACK_Robes, ROBES. And you can put in a bid, and I'll have...
Oh, they got a Death's Head.
Yeah.
We should get that for Don.
Is it Death's Head or Death's Head 2?
It's just Death's Head, but...
Don likes Death's Head.
Yeah, Don would be interested in that.
Yeah, Don, Don might be interested in that one. That's the thing. He hates Death's Head 2. And he hates that joke, so I'm not going to touch it.
Look, we haven't made that joke in at least a week and a half. We're entitled.
Oh, yes. I'm just so...
It's fresh again. This is fine.
Yeah.
Only if Rotten Tomatoes says it's fresh.
I love Rotten Tomatoes. That's one of my favorite websites. And so over the weekend, I decided also to just do an Instagram contest for the heck of it. Didn't even announce it on the show. Basically, we were giving away a Gnaw, a.k.a. Sharkticon from Titan's Return. And the winner is Chiptimus Prime. And I'll be contacting you, Chiptimus, and letting you know how you can claim the prize. So
I'm now imagining Optimus Prime wearing a bomber jacket.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I probably wouldn't have gone there. I probably would have done something a little different, but, you know. I'm more of a Dale guy anyway, if I have to admit. Like, I like the Magnum P.I. look. I think I would be probably more like... I definitely would be more like Dale. Chip was too smart. Relative to Dale. I mean, he's no Gadget. Mm. We all know that Gadget's the smartest.
No, it's weird. I was actually leaving Sheets the other day, yesterday.
Awesome.
And I had the Disney Afternoon soundtrack, and I was playing the Jim and Dale Rescue Ranger theme.
That's a great theme.
Waiting to pull out onto the highway, and this car pulled in beside of me and just sort of looked over at me as they were pulling in. I'm thinking, what? It's nostalgia. Do you not have any?
I talked to Kim about that, and I said, do you not have any nostalgia for DuckTales? And she said, I played outside.
Wow.
I had asthma.
So did I, but I still managed to find time to beat DuckTales.
Yeah. That's such a great show. I love those themes. Just like you, Don, I will listen to them just for fun. Hey, did anybody get anything new this week?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
I got...
when you're producing the podcast version, put some crickets in at this point.
Crickets, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't for lack of trying, but... nothing materialized.
Well, with
thanks,
the
U.S. Customs.
Well, with the release date of the new toys, you know, looming large, this could be the calm before the storm.
So. Yes. So, release date's when Monday?
Yeah, Monday. It's supposed to be.
Yep.
But one thing I did notice is that I did see at Target on one of the floats, Broadside does have a April 24th big sticker on the box, don't put it out until then. It was already on the floor, but one of the boxes, it was street dated along with, I'm guessing the movie stuff is going to be as well, because I saw that at Kmart. Although the ones at Kmart did not have the big yellow sticker, it just had it imprinted on the side of the box. So I'm not sure why they're, I'm not sure why they're doing two different kinds of boxes that shows the street date notification, but they might be doing it just as a blanket thing. So that way, none of the movie stuff gets out. Everything is labeled at the same time. That would,
well, sort of they also, they also said, I think at Toy Fair, they wanted like a big flood of all the product to come out for Merchandise Day.
So fingers crossed. I did manage to pick up a Walgreens Deluxe, which is, again, going to be less than the first, the Premier Edition Deluxes that come out next week.
Yeah.
See, it's going to be an interesting thing when Walgreens stocks the movie Deluxes.
It's $40.
How much they're, yeah.
$45 per Deluxe.
And Rob and I both found something this week is in checking our Walgreens.
Well, let me finish with this first. It's Perceptor. He is awesome. I really like him. I think he's so much better than the Generations Perceptor we got a few years ago, mostly because he turns into a microscope instead of an SUV, because that didn't work. So he's a nice little toy. If you can find him.
Little toy.
Through whatever magical means that you have to find deluxe toys on the shelf from Wave 4, if you can do that, do it. So, Rob, what did you guys find?
Well, Rob, when you checked your Walgreens, what did you find?
Nothing.
No, the movie toys, because you and I were in the same boat, because you found a Crosshairs, right?
Oh man, yeah, we have. There's a Hound and a Crosshairs at my Walgreens. Yeah,
and a Hound showed up.
Yes, Age of Extinction Hound and Crosshairs, priced at the same $18 as the Titans Return Deluxes.
Oh, nice. That's great.
I'm talking about the, like, one steps.
That's awesome. That's even better.
They were briefly marked down to $3.24, and I was thinking about getting them at that point just so they would go away. And I didn't, and now they're back up to full price, which I just kind of figured.
So, yeah, so if you're counting on the Walgreens selling these figures down to get new figures in, through the replenishment process.
Obviously, you're not familiar with Walgreens then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that those are going to be there forever, because it wasn't Walgreens, but as of like 3 years ago, I found a Generations Tankor at a Rite Aid.
That's awesome.
That was still almost $19.
Yeah.
I wish I had grabbed the full price Universe Ratchet I saw like 3 years after the fact at my Rite Aid, because I could make some decent money on that now.
In 2013, I still saw Power Rangers Jungle Fury stuff at Rite Aid.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Now, for reference, that was a 2007 show.
And in the late 1990s, this was like 1999, Don Etta Roses, I found still sealed original 1987 NES games.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that was the coolest example of that. At a, I found two summers ago a WWF figure from 1999 on a shelf at a Kmart, but the Kmart was closing, so the liquidator company probably still had that from another retailer and had been trying to sell it over the course of probably like those 15 years or whatever it was. So. Let's see here. Nobody else got anything? Okay. Let's move to This Week in History.
How depressing.
I know. This Week in History, 1996, which was 21 years ago, little something called Beast Wars premiered in most of the U.S. with Beast Wars Part 1. And I didn't watch it. I actually didn't watch Beast Wars for a whole nother 2 years.
Oh, I was there when I had my VCR set up. I was sitting in front of the TV. I was waiting for this thing to start.
I didn't have internet at home at that point, and I was still in high school. And I didn't get internet access at high school to like learn anything like this. And it didn't pop out in TV Guide or whatever, so I had no idea this was a thing.
Yeah, and for you younger viewers, TV Guide was a magazine that you used to buy.
Yes,
that. So imagine the TV Guide channel, but like
it's Pop TV now.
Oh,
yeah,
it's not TV Guide Channel anymore.
No, okay. Yeah,
but yeah. So imagine Pop TV then as a book.
It's not just a
and
book.
You had to buy it.
It's not just a book. It was a book local to your market that had content specific to where you lived. So exactly. it was regional. I don't have any versions they had to be. Hundreds, probably, versions of that came out each week. It's insane. That was the world that we lived in. But yeah, Beast Wars premiered. Beast Wars Part 1's not the whole, most of the first season, honestly, is not that great.
Well, there's the low road.
Yeah, there sure is.
No, look, there's good stuff in season one, legitimately, like Dark Voyage.
Yeah.
Dark Designs.
Dark Designs is season one, yeah.
Yeah. Victory was a good episode. Not Transformers Victory, no. The Beast Wars episode Victory. The Beast Wars episode is a lot more interesting than that entire Japanese series.
Yeah.
No, season one had good stuff once it actually like got its feet under it and kind of, you know, got moving. But yeah, the first couple months worth of episodes were a little bit harder to take.
So Beast Wars is, I still maintain this, that Beast Wars is the best Transformers series, but I haven't like revisited it and paid as much attention to it as I should to just see if that still holds water.
I mean, visually, no, but that's not any kind of revelation. But like, I still think the writing is sharp and on point. Like, that has not deteriorated with age any.
It has still has the biggest emotional punch of any Transformers series, far and
you
away.
You know, I think you go from Beast Wars to animated to parts of Transformers Prime, I'll say. Because, as I've maintained, there is a whole big stretch of Transformers Prime that is just a chore to watch.
It's three quarters of it.
Well, it's at least most of the second season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the list of really legitimately good Transformers series, short. I think, is short. Very and short. It starts with Beast Wars.
Yeah.
And that's still true to this. That's true to this day. Because Machinima's Combiner Wars certainly didn't challenge it.
Hopefully, Titans Return will be a little better.
Oh, I'm sure it won't be.
It can't be any worse. Well, maybe it could.
Hold my beer.
Well, I liked it.
Well, one they of the seem to be awfully proud.
One of the Raiders is now the chief story officer over at Blizzard, so we'll see.
Oh, great.
That's well, World of Warcraft fans, hope you enjoyed your run.
Yeah. I don't. Never mind. No comment. 2012 pre-order window opens for United Art Fire with Nightstick and Sparks. And when I saw the word United underlined, I thought something entirely
me
different.
Too.
Yeah. And you know, it's sort of weird because the year before we were all trying to scramble to get that Ricochet.
I didn't.
And well, most of us were because they actually put paint on the Jazz mold and it looks good when you actually have paint on there. And it was a pretty accurate, pretty good recreation. And I remember pre-ordering that because I thought, okay, if Ricochet sold like that, this Inferno mold is almost as popular as the Jazz mold. So this thing's going to sell out. It didn't.
Nope.
It was around for a very long time, and it got dirt cheap in some places.
Well, not dirt cheap. I saw it as low as like $80.
Well, compared to the $140 when it was originally.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and I just thought for sure it would sell as fast, if not, because you and I, Chris, got the last two Ricochets that we saw at that one BotCon.
So Stepper, mm-hmm. So Stepper and Art Fire both held a much more sacred place in the hearts of Transformers fans, I think, in the 1990s than they do in 2012 or 2017.
Well, the weird thing about
now they're
it,
just really nice decos, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so the weird thing about it is that United Stepper was a hot ticket item when it came out because, you know, like me and Don said, we were scrambling around BotCon to try to find some.
Without paying.
But at the same time, that deco had been reused on the Alternator's body. So there was that. There was a commemorative series one, and the commemorative series Ricochet ended up being clearance down to like $13 in a lot of places. I got one. Yep. Like that United Stepper was not even the first modern release of that deco to say nothing of an update. Whereas Artfire, the United one, was the first reuse of that deck on anything.
Well, so was the problem that he was out of scale with Stepper?
I don't really think it's that, because, I mean,
I think it was just a bigger, more expensive toy.
A less interesting thing.
But, you know, I just thought for sure that it was going to be harder, even harder to get. And it wound up just being one of those weird reverses of what you think the hobby's going to do.
Yeah, I think, like, ultimately, I think it just proved that nobody really cares about Artfire independently.
Probably.
You know, Stepper has the advantage of, that's a pretty cool looking deco just in isolation. And Artfire just kind of comes along for the ride because they were presented as a pair in their Headmaster's manga appearance.
You can say that nobody cares about Artfire, but I'll have the masterpiece when it comes out. So,
I'm not saying that doesn't look good. And if I was the masterpiece person, I'd be happy to get that. At the same time, though, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay, so jumping to the news, Robots in Disguise Season 3 kicks off April 29th on Cartoon Network, and it'll include the first appearance of Combiners. So that's pretty cool. I haven't kept up with that series like I should. I really think they probably just need to jump in basically midstream and just watch it. And then, like, that's what I did with Beast Wars. I started second season, then worked my way back.
I still haven't watched most of the first season of Robots in Disguise.
We're bad
at this point. I'm
fans.
I'm probably just gonna sit here at the bus stop and wait for the next series to come along.
Yeah, I'm with Rob.
Well, I've watched everything current up to the end of the last season. However you want to call the seasons, because it's very weird on how it's being broke down. But you know, if this is the last thing, I doubt I'm going to be getting the connectivity to Prime other than the characters that we're getting, you know. But looking at that trailer, did anyone else get an idea, like, that Bumblebee and his team trying to combine is going to be kind of like a minor arc, that it's not going to happen right away? It's going to be one of those, like, Beast Machines where they're trying to learn how to transform. It's going to be one of those, like...
Or it'll just be the plot of the first two episodes, and that'll just be, you know, the season opener story.
Jason says in the chat that I need to start with the Soundwave episode and go from there.
No, there's some decent episodes before that.
Well, if you specifically want Prime connectivity, that's the place to jump on.
Yeah.
And then just kind of pick around until you get to the six-episode mini-con arc.
The
which culminates with Starscream showing up.
The trailer for the season and promo HD screen caps are available at tfilmers.com, and we will link to them from tfradio.net/515. So I wanted to talk about this.
Well, I think everybody wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that cup that we talked about last week that was all desaturated, well, they added a little more color. They tinted it a little bit.
Well, no, I it's inaccurate to say they added a little more color. They added color.
Yeah. So like in our art for this week's episode, I basically have a picture of that cup with a Snickers bar, because you're not yourself.
He just wasn't himself.
Yes. And I think it looks a lot better, though. I was perfectly fine with it being gray, to be honest with you.
I wasn't.
I accepted it being gray. This is pretty much what I wanted.
Yeah, I'm with Rob once again. I agree.
There's a difference between accepting what reality is and okay with it.
Yes. I had resigned myself to getting the gray one.
I made peace with the fact that I was going to buy this erroneous gray cup because I wanted the new face sculpt and the Target Master. But now I'm actually happy that I pre-ordered this. There's a far, far difference between those states.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the equivalent revised pictures of Hot Rod that get rid of the new chest mold, but I'm not holding my breath on that.
I'm looking at the Headmaster right now. What's amazing is that it has paint on it.
Because it's a Takara release.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man.
You know,
this looks a lot better now. Important thing to note, though, these are new pictures, but they're of the same painted prototype, but the colors are applied with Photoshop.
Yeah.
There's some places where they did not apply the updated colors, like under the transparent windshield parts.
Yeah, you can
that's
tell.
Still the original colors under there. We can assume this does accurately represent what they intend for the product to look like, but there will be differences because this is not actually paint on plastic.
So the previous toy that we saw, can we assume that that was like a test shot that had been Photoshopped, or?
It's a test shot in any case, but more likely it was hand painted into the colors we saw it.
And just
and
done
now,
wrong.
Yeah. And these are just Photoshopped over that instead of going back over and giving it another coat of paint or preparing another test shot with a correct hand done paint job.
Mm. Well, I'm glad it's going to be green. I didn't like the gray. I was worried that they were going to repaint it later, or someone else was going to repaint it later, and I would have to buy it for a third time. So that kind of saves that problem for me. I only have to get this twice.
I want it in gray now.
Well, maybe for BotCon 28. Oh.
Maybe in one of next year's big $100 multi-packs.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, if they put it in gray, I can skip it. But if they would have did gray and then green, I would have had to get the green later.
The gray part, maybe not, but I wouldn't rule out seeing this mold in one of those multi-packs next year, because we're getting Jinrai in this year, so.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If there are significant enough remolds that they're appealing to people who buy $100 multi-packs, Hasbro may do what they can to bring it over.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I said on Twitter that I really wasn't sure about paying $40 a piece for him and Hot Rod. But I was really impressed with the cup mold with the American cup that I found on the way down to Joanna. I might get this cup because it does look better with those colors, and it would be nice to have an actual Target Master cup.
Well, you better jump on it because I'm pretty sure these pre-orders are going to sell out quick.
Yeah, that's the other reason they're probably going to bring it over, because I have actually bothered to pre-order this for $46.
Yeah. Something new that we're getting this year. I don't know. Have you guys been buying the Hallmark Pop Culture Store Transformers ornaments?
Hell yes. No.
Me neither.
I get them for Christmas every year, so I don't buy them myself. I get them for Christmas.
Yeah, see, that's fine. I'm just not going to spend my own money on them.
Yeah, well, if you want to spend $15.95, you can now get a Soundwave, or we'll be able to get a Soundwave.
I mean, I appreciate it's completely, like, you know, toy Soundwave instead of, like, taking easy mode and just making an ornament of cartoon Soundwave.
If this were the 1990s and I was starved for, like, new Transformers stuff, I would so be on these.
But it goes on your tree.
I don't have a tree.
How many Transformers figures do you have hanging off your tree?
I don't have any. I never do a Christmas tree. It's not worth the effort.
This is
you
a
just
reason
do like the
to.
Aluminum rod. Do you do the whole Festivus thing?
No, like I don't even bother. Like, it's just not. I mean, there are trees everywhere I go. I don't need one in my house.
Well, hey, Brian, just as something for our listeners and viewers, I went to Hobby Link in Japan just to see what the Japanese price was currently. It says it's not going to be released until about 9:30. Right now, with the Japanese yen to the dollar, it's running 35 in Japan at like Hobby Link.
This ornament?
No, I'm sorry, the cup. I'm sorry, the cup.
Are we still talking about that like 2 days ago, Don?
Yeah.
Oh, I said I'm waiting for the page to load.
Oh, okay.
Don can't multitask.
No,
internet can't multitask.
Hey, while we're at it, while we're talking in terms of Donanomics, I want to break format and mention Sky Shadow being on Amazon, and the price is lower this week than it was last week. So we actually,
is it?
Yeah, it's like $40.
Really?
Yeah, tfradio.net/.
See, when I looked when I was doing the show notes last night, it was up to like $85.
Well, now it's at $62, yeah. So it sold out. So,
okay, so that was completely pointless.
Well, it was at $40, but I'm just saying, it hit $40. Don had contacted Amazon customer service to get a price adjustment, and they gave him one. They gave him like $10 back.
Well, cool. Initially, I was told that it could not be done. But then I explained that the order was less than 2 weeks old, and that, I really would appreciate that. Cause I mean, basically it didn't arrive until the 14th. So I've had it less than 5 days.
Did you tell them about Dononomics?
They should know by now.
Yeah,
yeah. There was a seminar and everything.
Now when
spreads the good word of Dononomics everywhere he goes.
He does. Like, but
have you not heard of Don Talks?
But I cannot fault one of the guys on Twitter was able using Dononomics was able to get the Autobot Platinum Heroes gift set for like $36 from Target.
Wasn't that Ant? What?
Okay, it was Ant. Yeah, because between gift cards, the red card discount, and the new discounted price on Target, he got it for like $36.
That's awesome. But what I was going to say, and I've mentioned this before, but whenever Don talks about going and getting money back from something he bought, I cannot but help but think of that Circuit City commercial from like 1986.
Yeah.
When the kid has the Walkman, he walks up. Last week I bought this, and he shows the guy at the desk an ad. And today I saw this. And the guy just hands him money because, like, that's it. Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
God, that's such an iconic commercial, and that company's dead. Okay.
They're coming back. Well, the name's coming back.
The name's coming back.
Yeah, the name's coming back. Just like, you know, Montgomery Ward is now some kind of catalog service for somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Magna Convoy. So I had this pre-ordered at some point. I canceled that pre-order. We have photos of it.
It's very well done and astonishingly boring.
Yeah.
And it's it's expensive.
And I'm
isn't
still
it?
Getting it.
I love that. It's astonishingly boring.
It is.
This is the GM custom of Optimus Primes.
Yes, remarkable.
It's remarkable for being completely unremarkable.
he looks very, very Optimus Primey and blue.
Yeah, he's
no, it's powered convoy.
Yeah, and didn't I mean,
and I still have that Diaclone powered Fans Project armor kit, so I'll finally have a truck to go with it.
All right,
and it's so weird that this mold, it hasn't been used as much as the Seekers, but it's gotten a lot of use, and apparently it's still going strong. It's like, when are we going to get a revision of this? Because this has been well used.
Oh no, we have a revision of this done. We actually, you know, got them a couple weeks ago. It's this mold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
That mold can't be used.
That's your Optimus.
He's talking about the Octane Laser Prime mold.
Yeah.
So. But that mold can't be used after Titan Returns dies.
They can probably find a way to retool it.
Yeah,
and pop like a permanent head on it.
Yeah,
I mean,
they totally could, because the torso is all a solid chunk. They could put a pop up head down there the same way they had the ear thing pop up.
Yeah,
yeah, actually, that would be neat.
It would be doable.
Oh, that's
whether
really
they want to invest in that or not is a different question. But like, yeah, this could totally become the new Optimus Prime for the next 15 years.
This mold needs to die. It really does. Go ahead, Rob.
No, go ahead, Don.
Yeah.
Rob.
I was just going to say, that's a really pretty blue.
Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
I was going to say, wasn't there a bootleg of this mold in these colors, too?
Probably.
Yes. Yes, there was.
Well done.
No, it was in the KOLD knockoff Lucky Draw imprint, and no, it was not well done. They also did a variety of Seeker colors, and I think they did a G1 breakdown before BotCon went back and did G1 breakdown after doing G2 breakdown 2010.
Mm.
Actually, I think they did it after FunPub did it.
Interesting.
Yeah, who even cares?
Yeah, at this point.
And just to let everybody know that I have absolutely no willpower and would be a really horrible Green Lantern if I just pre-ordered Cup.
Well, good. You're the last one of us to do it, Don.
Like I said, even I did, Don, so I don't think anybody's going to fault you.
So we have, from Walmart's website, two new Transformers Rescue Bots, reskinned Bumblebee figures. There is the VTOL Jet and Night Raptor.
Bumblebee's a dinosaur.
I love this.
Yeah, I kind of like that too.
I need this in my life.
Yeah, so it wasn't until after I had posted it that somebody brought up on Twitter that the other one is basically Quinjet Bumblebee.
Yeah, you're right. I this is my new favorite Transformer, I think. I need that so bad. It is totally Quinjet Bumblebee. Gosh, I didn't even notice that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how much more sense Bumblebee makes as an aircraft?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But dang it, he is an awesome dinosaur.
But next time we're doing beasts, we do need a bumblebee that turns into an actual bumblebee.
No, what they'll do is they'll just reissue Injector and color him like Bumblebee.
I'd buy it.
They could probably use that Waspinator mold and retool that into a bee.
That'd make too much sense.
They wouldn't even retool it. They would just recolor it.
Yeah.
Recolor. I mean, the face is totally wrong. They would need
who cares?
Face, but...
Who cares?
No, they'll just leave it.
Yeah, leave it.
It's fine.
Do the face in Gold Bug colors. It'll work.
Yeah. Totally. Or just do it in Marvel Bumblebee colors. Solid yellow.
Yeah.
White eyes.
In the category of things I can appreciate but will never ever buy, I just don't do statues. We have a Superior Optimus Prime statue from Prime One Studio. It's nice looking.
There's a few statue items that came up in the last week. I put this one in here because it's at least trying to do something different than slavishly recreating a cartoon model or some such. Or being, you know, the most accurate possible representation of a movie design.
That's not the parts from Jetfire, is it? What is this representing?
Just
Optimus Prime in
with
space.
Stuff on his back.
Okay.
I mean, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's off to outer space.
So he has, like, these rocket packs on what are probably wings. They're offset on either side of his back. It's neat looking.
There might be, like, some Jetfire inspiration with this, because it's supposed to be, like, a fusion of G1 and movie stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, it could be Jet Power Optimus as reimagined through a little bit of a G1 filter, but at the same time, it could also just be color coordinated, you know, rocket parts.
Yeah.
It's something different and vaguely interesting, so I thought I'd throw it in this week.
Yeah.
Because we certainly don't have much else to talk about.
So, one of my other favorite stories from this week is that Transformers is coming to Carnival cruise ships.
That came up like 3 hours ago, and I was so happy that came up because I knew that would just be the most entertaining thing to talk about.
So, like,
all right, we're all going on a cruise now.
So, my wife has been trying to get me to do a cruise for the longest time.
Oh, Kim would kill you.
No, she wouldn't. No, I think she would do that. I think she would do this. I could actually probably get her to come on and talk about
it. No, see, okay, you're looking at this wrong, Brian. She would totally seem happy and agree to this because she knows that after about 24 hours, you'd be far enough out at sea that she could dump your body over and no one would ever find it.
For dragging her to yet another Transformers-inspired
event. Yeah.
And the fact that you could have gone well before then, and this is what makes you go.
So, Diecast, was it you and me or John, maybe me and John, or maybe the three of us, had talked at one point about like doing a couple's cruise or something? Didn't we talk about that a couple years ago?
We talked about doing a Transformers cruise, like trying to get everyone from the group and open it up to Transformers fans and try and make it like a Transformers cruise.
Well, they did it for us.
Yeah. Yeah, but so, it's out of California, so that's kind of a problem.
I don't know if I said so at the time, but I will reiterate now. You could not pay me to go out on a boat like this.
But we would be there.
Yeah, we'd be there. It'd be great.
That's supposed to be a selling point.
And there's alcohol.
Hey, John, you want to do this?
Also not a selling point for me.
Would Jamie do this?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Because it's a cruise.
Yeah.
She'll find out about the theme when she gets there.
A three-hour cruise.
So this is, I think a cruise, like Kim and I have never gone. My old boss, or I guess technically just a friend of mine now, he does like 4 cruises a year. It's like it's his thing. So I think this is on her 40 by 40 list. And she turns 40 in next year, so we need to knock this out.
Well, the one time I went to look at doing a cruise for myself, apparently everything is based on double occupancy.
Yeah.
I had a tax refund of $700. I could not get on a cruise by myself to go anywhere except maybe around my bathtub for $700.
Don, for like $300, you could buy, like, from Amazon, you could buy like a portable hot tub. I would just do that. I would just put like one of those inflatable hot tubs in your backyard.
But I mean, it's depressing when you take your tax refund check in there and say, "This is the money I have. Where can I go?"
They laugh
nowhere.
At you.
Home. Yeah.
Right,
you can't.
Right back out the door.
Exactly. I mean, they said, "Well, you can take someone with you." I said, "If I had someone to go with me, I wouldn't need to go in the first place."
Now, I fully realize I'm absolutely no fun, but I just don't see the appeal of going and being stuck out on a boat in the ocean for a week.
It's not a boat.
But then
it's
think
like
of all
a
the people
city.
That would be. Think of all the people that would be stuck with us.
but I will say I am partially considering doing that Star Trek cruise with George Takei. That
really?
Would, you know. Not him personally, the Star Trek cruise, you know.
I was going to say, is that going to be your double occupancy?
So I'm partially.
I mean, that at least sounds like it'd be fun.
Yeah, so. So that I'm kind of.
So, George, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing with you every night. Try to think over the internet.
So, moving to Movie Block, Transformers Last Night, New Diecast Metal, Pendants coming to Japanese vending machines.
We're 5 days away from the movie toys coming out, and this is the best we can do is pendants and vending machines?
So everybody wants diecast. What's wrong with that?
So
Everything, Andrew. Everything's wrong with diecast.
How do you say? Is that Gakupon?
Gashapon.
So Takara owned their own vending machine line in Japan. Is that Takara's line, or are they using somebody else's equipment?
I'm sure it's going in their own machines. You know, Bandai has their own vending machines.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I'm sure they're loading it in their own stuff.
You can find their vending machine systems here too. Occasionally, the one of the grocery stores near me has one of their Takara vending machines. So, but I guess that sucks for people who invested in one of those machines. These are different. I don't get this whole pendant / dog tag thing, like the blind packs and stuff that are in vending machines. It just doesn't do anything for me. And I had to explain to my nephew what a dog tag was, because he got a dog tag and he said, "Look at my necklace." I'm like, "That's a dog tag." Then I had to give him the gruesome details of what they're for.
Slight difference.
Yeah.
So how much detail did you go into when you were explaining to him what they're actually for?
I just gave him the highlights.
Okay, so you didn't explain the part where if they find someone dead, they open their jaw and jam the dog tag into the teeth?
I didn't know that was part of it. Now I'm heartbroken.
It may not be as a modern thing, but it certainly has been in the past.
Interesting. Didn't know
that. To make sure the body stays identifiable.
That's interesting. Dang, I did not go that far. But I told him.
Of course, I'm also the same uncle who went into some detail explaining to his, at the time, I think, 8-year-old nephew how a colostomy bag works.
Oh, God. Okay, moving along. So we have in Last Night News, Shadow Spark Optimus Prime redeco for Last Night. So we have a grainy photo of that. Where is this even from?
I have no idea, but the main thrust of this seems to be the Shadow Spark Optimus that's coming out in Hong Kong and China from Hasbro Asia. It's going to be distributed in Japan as a campaign item based on pre-ordering the movie tickets. They did the same thing with the G1 Colors Grimlock and Slug and maybe another one of the Dinobot molds for Age of Extinction.
So I'm just looking at the chat real quick and doing a quick scan. And Lunar Fury, who you'll probably see on Twitter, said the next giveaway will be Win a Room with Don on the RFC cruise.
Yes.
That would be awesome. I would love that. That would be great.
I snore very badly.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so the giveaway
horribly.
Will be the giveaway will be rooming with Don and a gross of earplugs.
Yeah, a gross of earplugs. Yeah, you'll need that.
They help. I speak from experience.
Well, I apologize for that. I can't control everything.
Let's talk about Amazon real quick. So you can still get that Transformers Platinum Edition Autobot Heroes set for about $86. I think it's like $86.95 right now. That is available at tfradio.net/platinum/. And also, anything you want to buy from Amazon helps us out. Amazon doesn't charge you a cent more. Go to tfradio.net/Amazon. Do you think Amazon has clearance Easter candy or like Easter candy that's like cheap now?
No,
probably,
possibly.
Not.
Let's check. Not really.
I know you can pre-order the last night Hasbro figures.
Oh, that's right. So let's see, last night Barricade.
Although, didn't we find out in pre-show that they're not going to be in stock until the first?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was going to go there, but like,
yeah, I don't understand that, but.
So, pricing is a little weird right now. It says Transformers The Last Knight Premier Edition Deluxe Barricade, only $34.99. That might not be something I buy from Amazon. Just
is that a direct sale thing, or is that a
marketplace seller? It's sold by a marketplace seller.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
I found him Barricade for $19.99.
Okay, here's a Berserker for $19.99. That's direct from Amazon.
I just think everybody wants Barricade, so the direct inventory already went on that.
I'm assuming that deluxe Barricade sold out from Amazon. Yeah, so.
That's what I just said.
Yes. I know, but I'm putting in it words people understood.
I actually like that Berserker better.
Yeah, but you're wrong about a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Berserker looks okay, but he is a little simplistic. He looks almost like
what I've heard from the early in-hand reports is that it is very shell former and very fiddly to transform.
There you go. That's what he looks like.
So it's a movie toy.
It's a bad example of a movie toy.
Gotcha.
Yep. But yeah, absolutely. tfradio.net/Amazon. Just buy whatever. Hey, I was mentioning that hot tub earlier. You could buy one. It's like $300, $350. Put it in your backyard. Fill it
up. Do you have to put it in your backyard?
No, you can put it in your front yard if you wanted to.
What if you don't have a front yard or a backyard?
If you
I do not recommend putting them indoors.
You could do it if you're like on a slab. I wouldn't do it like on the third floor.
Okay. Also, what if you're on a lot of ventilation? Yes. What if you're on the third floor and you hate the people who live below you?
Yeah, do it. Absolutely.
Then by all means.
Absolutely do it. So tfradio.net/Amazon. Okay, moving
on. Disclaimer, we do not actually endorse or recommend pranking your neighbors by flooding their homes.
Yes. Third party news, Unique Toys, unofficial movie lockdown prototype revealed. What's up with that face?
It's Lockdown's face.
Oh, this picture. So I'm looking at one right now. He looks like. Does he have like a visor like Cobra Commander?
He had that as an option. Okay. Also the gun face.
Okay, yeah, so that makes sense. So for people watching the video, I'm looking at this one, but the one here looks odd to me.
Why do we need this?
Well, this one is supposed to be around leader size, although some reports are saying more like old Ultra class.
Hold on, I'll be right
back. Okay, I know where Diecast is going with this, but like for people who don't want the Wai Zhang approach necessarily.
If you don't want to buy a KO toy, buy a stolen buy a toy that's a third party.
Right here.
Yeah. If you don't want to participate in tooling theft, if you draw the line at IP theft.
That's what I was trying to say. Thank you for saying it right.
Kun Ban Bao is the movie Lockdown. He has both heads, and he even has the gun face. So he has the gun that'll go on his face.
Yeah.
This was like, I don't know, $10 or something.
Do you remember when we just did without?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Okay.
It's amazing how entitlement has grown over the last decade.
It is. Mm-hmm. Hey, so we're running, not a lot in the way of the news. We're running short, so we had a pretty fun discussion last week after the show was over. We posted an RFC Extra in respect to what Masterpiece toys come next. But it really occurred to us in the beginning of the show, or before the show started, that sometimes we don't really know why we still do this. Not the podcast, but collect.
Well, that too sometimes.
Sometimes. But why we subject ourselves to the poor supply chain, increasing prices, poor selection.
Gimmicks we don't care about.
Gimmicks we don't care about. But why do we still do it? We love it. But do we hate ourselves at the same time? What do you guys think?
Well, I just don't know any other way to live.
When deluxes are going to be $20 at retail, yeah, I kind of do start to wonder why. why am I going to do this?
I'm not going to do that.
So one thing I was suggesting before is if I'm not buying that, there are lots of things I've missed in the past or collections that I could complete that would cost less than buying however many deluxes come out at the $20 price point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One, I could just go, you know, Masterpiece exclusive and save myself a lot of money throughout the year.
Man, I don't know how. I mean, you're not buying the deluxes and everything else, but like even doing the Masterpiece just themselves still isn't the super cheapest thing.
But when you eliminate the Titan Master price point and the Legends price point and the Deluxe price point and the Voyager price point and the Leader price point and the Titan price point that you're paying, yeah, that's a lot of money you cut out every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember,
how many Masterpieces actually come out in a year?
5 or 6.
Right.
Well, depending on the year, last year was like 10.
So you're looking at close to a grand.
Yeah.
We were getting one a month there for a while.
Yeah. And then also, if you consider third-party Masterpieces as part of your collection. If you're trying to, it's like, well, you know, some people might because, you know, we might get Downbeat as a fill-in for Jazz.
I did buy Downbeat because I didn't expect that I'll ever get a Jazz. And I'll probably be disappointed by that because we probably will get one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tokyo Toy Show is coming up, and if they want to, you know, announce a big license they've acquired, that might be the place to do it.
Yeah. But when I talk about, like, just limiting myself, when you don't really limit yourself by adding third party to the mix. It's the exact opposite. Again, there's 7 or 8 Springers coming out.
Six at the Masterpiece.
Yeah.
But no, the 7th one is Warbot Defender, which was a long time ago.
I don't even count that one. That was like 2008.
I thought we just had a 7th. I thought we just saw a 7th recently.
No, we saw new pictures of one of the 6.
Gotcha. Okay, makes sense.
I understand your confusion.
Rob.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think it's absolutely important, especially as the prices go up, to just get more and more selective about this. You know, there are characters and there are figures that I don't want to miss, and I do my best not to miss them, but sometimes I can't get everything, and I just, you know, learning to let go of that was really liberating for me in a sense. I mean, the part about not being able to afford it when you want something still really sucks, but the, you know, not feeling like I have to get every single figure, which I think I gave up on somewhere around Cybertron, that was when... You know, that just really was very relaxing for me.
No pun.
Well, the counterpoint to that is, when was the last time it was practical to get every figure?
It's practical.
Somewhere around Cybertron.
I think it's fairly practical. I think it's fairly practical now. It's not like so much stuff comes out that it's that you can't do it.
I don't know. It's pretty staggering where we're at right now.
I was about to say, remember that the you in that statement is extremely subjective, Brian.
True.
I've been keeping up with pretty much every wave, at least deluxes. I've had every U.S. deluxe release probably for the last 3 years.
Does that count movie toys?
That does not count
exactly
movie toys.
Okay, so it is objective. No pun intended. It hits me in waves. Like, there are certain things that I really want all of, and there are certain things I don't care about. Movie tends to be something I don't care about, and I can just buy selectively. Generations, I tend to want everything. Sometimes I skip a couple things here or there, like a repaint, but for the last year or two, I've tended to buy everything.
It also, Brian, could be also boils down to the distribution issue you mentioned, because it's stuff that we might be kind of on the fence on normally, but then we finally spot it. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, it's like, I wasn't going to buy it. Let's say you don't need, you have no desire to get the Skullcruncher repaint of Croc.
Well, that's a bad choice.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Okay.
It's awesome.
Or whatever the case may be, but you finally see one, and it's like, if I don't get this one, I will probably never see it again, or at least not for a long time.
Better example, Breakaway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about him?
Well, it's the same kind of situation where it's like a short-packed figure in its case. Mm-hmm. It's a repaint of a previous mold. It's just a far less desirable deco than Croc.
Yeah, okay. But it's a character, like, we haven't gotten... Well, no, there was a Revenge of the Fallen toy wasn't there. Like,
I think it was with the 2007 line, but yeah, it was Walmart exclusive movie imprint.
Yeah, and I've seen a really nice custom that uses the Titan Master head with that, and I've been very tempted, but that's like a lot of money to get those two toys to stick together.
So, go ahead, Don.
No, I was saying something more contemporary. Stormshot.
Yeah, it's very nice.
People might not be an RID fan, but when they finally see one, they're like, "Well, do I get it now or?"
So
I keep passing on that one.
What Rob talked about, though, as far as like giving up that need to be a completist, again, that hits me in waves. But like, do you guys think that you can just turn it off? And if you can't, why can't you turn it off for movies, but not turn it off for Generations or Masterpiece or what or whatever? Or why do you select certain third party toys and not every third party toy?
Because I don't just buy that much.
Third party toys for me are for filling in a character that Hasbro is probably not going to get to really soon, if ever, like the Decepticon Justice Division or that MMC Spartan for Impactor. I mean, these are really good representations of characters that are, I mean, not the top tier Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Soundwaves that you get three new toys of every year.
I really want to break the whole completest thing when it comes to Generations, but I'm finding it really hard.
I am not finding it really hard. I have the Voyager Optimus mold because it came in a box set. I've seen both Voyager Optimus and Voyager Megatron and left them both sitting. I will get them as Octane and Blitzwing, but I do not need every deco of every character evermore.
I'm trying to think of the last thing that I actually skipped. Go ahead, Rob.
For me, it kind of comes and goes on how completist I feel. Combiner Wars, at one point I actually had almost all of the retail Deluxes and Voyagers, but Menasor and Battlecore Optimus Prime and his wave, I both got sold to go to BotCon, and I'm finding that I really don't miss them that much.
I'm trying to think the last American release Generations toy that I missed, and I think it was Skullgrin from 2010.
That's not a bad thing.
I have that one.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I think Skullgrin is the last one that I felt that I could skip. And I kind of regret it.
Check your closet. You may have picked it up somewhere in the interim.
You probably have three of them in there.
I mean, like, I think I tend to use as a baseline, I kind of want to be mold completist. I want at least one instance of every mold that's made. And I think part of that comes down to, I just want to see how they make, X, Y, and Z toy work as a practical thing.
You want to experience the engineering.
Yeah, that's been something that's instilled in me for a long time. I really appreciate Transformers on engineering level. It's interesting to me how they make each one work. Each one is usually a little bit different from every other one. It's a really interesting thing to explore from that perspective. Now, of course, there is the cases where I will get multiple instances of one mold because it's a really good mold or the decos are pretty. How many Generations Jazzes do I have sitting around at this point? Or Cyber Jets, for that matter, But, at the same time, that does leave me more readily able to skip specific instances. Like, as much as I would kind of like to get Sky Shadow because I want to experience that mold, and it's probably going to be a little while before Overlord comes out, I don't really need to have Sky Shadow. It's that kind of thing. And the same as Matt with the Voyager Optimus. I held out for the box set version because it's a deco I wanted more. So I didn't get the retail one. I only have one of that. It's kind of that thing. But in terms of Generations, I can't actually think of a mold I've chosen to skip outright in I don't know how long. Movies are easier because I don't like the aesthetic as much.
Yeah.
But it also kind of flies in the face of my engineering thing because some of those were engineered in really impressive, interesting ways. And it's just that aesthetic took me out of it so much I couldn't even appreciate them on that level enough to buy them.
Yeah, I skip movie stuff outright.
Let's see here. I think I can probably count on one hand all the Generations toys, or all the toys I've missed since Classics came out. When it comes to Classics and Generations, that makes me sad now that I think of it. That's kind of awful. No wonder my wife hates me. She doesn't hate me.
Well, I'm sure there's other reasons, Brian. Yeah, she doesn't. Don't sell yourself short.
Classics is what me got back into collecting, and I mean some of the small scale stuff, some of the harder to find stuff, Legends and stuff like that, and noticeably Universe, Hotshot, Cheetor, and Dinobot I skipped. But other than that, I've got a pretty complete Classics collection.
Yeah,
I was.
Go ahead, Don.
Sorry, I was collecting a Universe basically when it started with that first wave when Prowl and the rest of them came out. I was literally buying doubles all the way up until probably around right after Grapple came out. So I was buying one box and one loose and. About when Grapple came out, I realized I can't keep buying duplicates because I love the card art. I like the look of the design of the figures. I like the way they looked in the packaging. I liked everything about them. But I got to the point where it's like I cannot keep buying doubles of everything. This is just too much.
Yeah, that's too much. Yeah. Man,
you know, the one thing that's going to help with the movie line, at least at this point, is almost half of the Last Night line is reuses of previous line molds. So that's like really easy to skip stuff right there.
Well, when I was at the Kmart, I asked the person putting out the stuff if I could open up one of the boxes just to look at the figures because he knew about the street date. And I said, you know, I know I can't buy them, but can I look at the figures because I haven't seen them in person. And it was the Legion figures. And other than maybe the Barricade was a new mold, I couldn't quite. If it was an old mold, it's not. I couldn't place it from memory. But the entire Legion wave in that box was all repaints. The entire wave was repaints.
Yeah, Barricade is Beast Hunter's smokescreen.
Okay, I couldn't tell from what it was, and it's like that's gonna save so much money because I've either already got the molds or I didn't want them in the first place. So I don't want to not want them again.
What an interesting sentence.
Yeah. I don't know that it's Stockholm syndrome, but it probably has something to do with my OCD is why I hang around. Nothing. A lot of times, whatever holds my attention is what holds my attention. So if I'm busy focusing on one thing and it's just too much to focus on, I'll let Transformers go. Admittedly, that hasn't happened in 12 or 13 years. So,
the podcast probably helps with that.
Yeah.
I'll just be honest, not getting all, you know, meta here. I haven't got a lot outside my life going on right now other than work and home and collecting. So there's just not There's not a lot going on. So, if I'm not doing the collecting, which I do enjoy,
but it gives you something to look forward to.
It does. I mean, but if I just got to the point where that became a non-entity in my life, where I live and what I do for a living, if I had just that, it would be a bad thing. So, you know, it's I enjoy the collecting, but it's a very important part of having a more rounded lifestyle.
Yeah, it's like I said at the start of this, I don't know any other way to live, and it basically comes down to I don't know what I would do with myself if not for this or something just like it.
Yeah.
I think I could find things to do with myself. I think I could find ways to spend my time. There is something still about Transformers after all this time that I really enjoy. I don't know quite how to put it. Transformers is one of the things that just is kind of stuck around for me. I cycle through other interests fairly rapidly. I will get obsessive about something, read as much as I can about it for a couple of months, and then it will go away. But I think Transformers is probably the only thing in the last 15, 20 years that I have stuck with long enough to actually, you know, sit around and get a case of the existentials trying to figure out why I still like this. So there's probably something to be said for that.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about where we're leaving this off. I don't feel that we have much more to say. Does anybody have any final parting thoughts before we jump to what's on T-Formers?
Oh, I just love Transformers. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Me too.
Even if I wasn't buying the toys as actively as I am, I still think I would... The increased price point to me kind of is what would break my completism. Like, it's very easy to say, well, I like three of these characters and the wave has four in it, so I'll buy that fourth character.
Absolutely. I mean, there is a limit, and it is primarily due to financial, you know, situations. Like, I'm not going to be able to keep doing this forever if, you know, we're paying $20 a piece for deluxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if we get to that point, it's just going to be a lot easier to step back a little bit, look at the whole thing, and say, well, if I really want this mold, I'll pay a little bit more and get the far superior, generally, Takara Tomy version, where at least if I'm paying a premium for it, I feel like I'm getting something back out of that.
So have we turned into Hasbro sucksors kind of people?
Oh, no. I absolutely not. No. It's just we are getting to a point where the Hasbro product, in a pricing situation alone, makes the Takara stuff feel like it's a lot more competitive.
Yeah, and kind of in terms of what the two markets are like and what Takara does with their deco and what Hasbro does with theirs, things have kind of just gone 180 degrees since that was a joke in the fandom.
Well, but, actually, we're like full circle here because, you know, in the 90s with the Beast Wars stuff, the Takara decos were considered superior, more accurate, all that stuff. Then halfway through, it went back around where the Takara one was like, this is weird and I don't like what they're doing with this. And now we're back around again to Takara's trying to do, you know, really cartoon focused stuff, more paint applications and everything, new parts and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And now they're getting into new remolding and that's just weird.
Yeah.
But awesome.
Yeah. But no, my final thought on all of this is that I think it is important to ask yourself this question every once in a while. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this out of habit? Am I doing this out of obsession? Or do I actually really love this thing? And is what I'm getting out of it worth the money and the stress? It's important to actually ask yourself all that and make sure that what you're doing is healthy for you.
That's a good point. It really is.
I mean, I was going to say with the distribution, because we keep talking about poor distribution. I mean, for me, it's kind of the opposite. Yes, retail store distribution stinks, but there's so many other ways to get Transformers now that I don't have to search stores. I don't have I can get it.
That's how I want to get stuff, though, is go to the store and buy it.
I want to get stuff,
but that's not everybody.
The least amount of frustration I can manage.
Yes. I don't want to keep going to the same store over and over and over again and aggravated when that one figure never shows up.
Yeah. I don't want to discount here that there is a great feeling when you do drive to a store and you go look in the aisle and there's a new thing there and you can grab it and walk out and have it, you know, in your hand and go home with it right all at once. That's
if that's a consistent experience, it's a great feeling. But sometimes if I go, especially after going for the longest time and finally find something, I don't feel a sense of relief. I'm like, why did it take so long for me to find this?
See, yeah, most people, a bit gone most than I people are, yeah, most people are happy when they go into the store and they find something. But I mean, there's people like Matt who live in a remote location who will pay a little bit more for a Toys R Us exclusive because he can't drive to Toys R Us, you know, 3-4 times a week.
Because every Toys R Us I have, there are four, and each one is a 2-hour drive in any location.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't go to Toys R Us. I
want to back up Brian on this, though, because it's kind of like a video game experience where, like, the third or fourth time, you know, if you beat a boss the first time, you're very happy.
Yes.
If you beat the second time, third time, you're relieved. If you finally beat it on, like, the 10th try, it's like, well, screw you. And that is the feeling I get when it has taken me 7 tries to to find something in the store.
Yep. So let's go ahead and jump to what's on T-Formers this week, Rob?
Very little. We've got Jin Kim's retailer incentive cover for Lost Light number 5, which is very nice. We also just today posted Sarah Peter Durocher's cover for Till All Are One number 12, which may have some minor spoilers just in case you go looking for that.
Okay.
But really nice piece of art.
Yeah, really nice piece of art, and it's there's a theme going along for the all four covers in the next story arc, and she posted a side-by-side comparison of those four, and it looks really nice. And also, Casey Collar posted his design for IDW's Warrior King Galvatron, and that's a really nice design as well.
Cool.
So that's about it.
Don, take us away.
All right. On the network this week, we have Superhero Time Presents, that one episode of Star Trek, The Outcast. Chris, I remember this episode, but I don't remember the season. Was it a season one? Season five? Okay, because I remember it being so bad and so disjointed that it seemed like it was a season one episode for some reason. But
we do comment in the podcast that there is certainly some issues with the episode in a, you know, creative sense.
You're right. Still doing the socially progressive failure month, right?
I'm calling it the socially regressive month, but yes.
I suggested a series of progressive face plants.
Yes, but you're getting a little too obtuse at that point, and
a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, don't forget, last week they took a break from that one episode of Star Trek and talked about Power Rangers. So you can also check that out as well.
Wow.
We do have one thing in the planning. It's not a theme, but we're thinking of subtitling an upcoming episode PTSDS9. So look forward to that.
Okay. Being Awesome 99X, which is...
That's like a radio station in Atlanta.
Yeah, okay. Rob Springer talks about bad Transformers tattoos and stuff while going into new movie hype, which magically plays into this week's Q&A about missing movie games.
So Rob always starts off with a cold open where he just gives a little story. The one this week is the most epic one he's ever done. It's amazing. It goes 10 minutes, but it's worth every second. It's basically he describes that person that we've all met before who is like the Transformers expert or the comic expert or whatever in the field where we have some expertise, and they don't know a thing. And you just resent them because they think they're like, yeah, it's awesome. It's amazing. It's,
and then you tell stories about them for the next 8 years.
Or 20 years in this case.
We're thinking of different instances, but I know what you're
I know what you're thinking about too. Don, you want me to help you with this one, or do you want to try it?
I'll read it and then you can explain it.
Okay.
On Take 4 Wrestling episode 28, Big Bully Busick interview. This week on Busick. Okay, yeah. Thank you. This week on Take 4 Wrestling, JT interviews his friend and WWF superstar Big Bully Busick.
Busick.
Bully Busick shares
his experience. It's like a Buick, but with an S.
Okay, Busick shares his experience with the wrestling business, working for Vince McMahon, his health and being cancer-free, on the territory days, and more. This week's gimmick of the week is the Berserker.
You did a great job, Don.
Which I'm guessing is not $20 at your local store.
No. That's good. I think you got it.
Okay, and on the RFC Extra, we talked about what Masterpiece Toys are left. Have everything been done? No.
Yeah.
But listen to the show and hear our theories.
So
especially the great one about Robots in Disguise 1.0 getting Masterpieces.
So
I don't remember that part, Don.
Yeah. So this coming week, we're going to have the first episode of a brand new podcast that I've been working on for a while. It's already recorded. It's in the can. And it's going to get posted Monday morning. We also have a new voice, a new co-host on Take 4 Wrestling. And that's going to be exciting. And John and I tried to record an episode of Get the Skinny. It lasted 40 minutes. It was the greatest episode we ever did. But thanks to the Windows 10 Creators Update, it failed.
Why wasn't John recording a backup?
Because John is bad at this. they'll never hear Brian. They're never going to hear our interview with Richard Simmons.
I know. It was a one-time deal. Again. It was a one-time deal.
I know. Well, we found him.
Yeah.
This is why New Soundwave died.
No, it died for.
We've actually been doing New Soundwave every week, but the recordings have all failed.
Yeah.
I still have the blood of New Soundwave all over my hands. So I think I did that one gleefully.
I think John and I are going to get together and re-record an abbreviated version of the podcast, hit the same point, highlights, but it's not going to be the same. But it's not the first time we've done that before, though. So I have a physical backup going of every single podcast I'll ever do again.
Physical?
Yeah, physical. Like, I have my field recorder, like, plugged into the board. With the recording going, so
that's the one that didn't work.
No, that's a different recorder.
Oh, okay. I thought for a minute you had found a way to make the audio take like physical form.
No,
that would be running it to a phonograph.
Yes, that's exactly right. No, Diecast, I have speaking of things I have way too much of, podcasting and radio equipment is one thing that I have too much of.
Oh, man. We should totally press an episode of RFC to vinyl.
We could do that.
The first episode.
Diecast, Don too, but it was a different house. They've both been in my house, and they've seen that I have way too much stuff. Yeah.
Well, I've traveled with you, and I also know that you have way too much stuff just in your travel kit.
Yes, that's true. I have a problem. Don, finish us off.
All right. Okay. Remember, you can find this episode at www.tfradio.net/515 to view the show notes. Don't forget our voicemail line. You can use it to send text. That's 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, your favorite smoke signals, whatever you might want to do. And also be sure to check us out on Roku under the special interest tab for all of your podcasting desires.
And speaking of too much equipment, Don, I finally got the phone system back up and running. I realized that so we can start doing our podcast, we're going to have people call in, so that'll be fun.
So hopefully sometime in the next 4 or 5 years, probably before I die, we'll get that up and running.
Yeah, Don's show. Yeah, this would be one where I'd like to have a producer who's not just me, but they would actually have to physically come into my house and do this one.
Mm-hmm. Triplet.
He lives an hour away, and it's not really.
It doesn't matter. It's triplet.
It's not his bag.
His inconvenience doesn't matter to us.
Yes, well, hey, Brian.
Hi, Chris.
Brian, you've got an excellent producer living with you. You could ask him to do it.
Oh God.
You know, then you could be a podcasting family.
You know, I've suggested that before, and she has shot it down every single time.
You know, Kim should have her own podcast. Just whatever she wants to talk about, living with a collector. Like, she could get on just for like 30 minutes each week and just talk about, for spouses that have collectors, coping strategies.
I think she should just, like, for 5 minutes once a week, just talk about her favorite thing she got from Sheetz this week.
Funny enough, like, my friends, some of the friends, John, Chris and I share. Our spouses call themselves robot widows. That's kind of how it goes. So it's kind of funny. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. We are on the Facebooks at facebook.com/TF Radio and on Twitter at TF Radio and on Instagram at TF Podcast. And I will be reaching out to Chiptimus Prime tonight to let him know that he won the NAW, and that'll be coming his way. Chris is on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. Don, how are you? How do people reach you?
They can reach me on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR, or through the various tags such as hashtags for TFYLP and RFC. I'll get it from somebody in some fashion.
Nice.
Do we have a hashtag?
You've could do a hashtag, I guess. Nobody does. it's like we've done them before, but
I'm sure our buddy Eric is pretty much will catch anything done for RFC, and I'm sure he'll let us know. So
we do. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Eric. Diecast.
You can follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast. I'm going to start doing, which I already started this week, every couple days I'm going to post something really weird that Transformers related that I found on Taobao. So if you want to see weird Transformers merchandise, follow me on our Reviews by Diecast or on Facebook or on Twitter at Diecast2.
And you're getting close to 1,000 followers on Twitter, I noticed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
At Diecast2, help him out.
Yeah, help me get to 1,000.
Chris Triplett just said on Twitter he would watch a show called Robot Widows.
Oh, that would be great. Did he change his Twitter handle? I think he may have.
No, he's still Man of the Town.
Okay, he changed his name.
His display name's different.
To see Triplett. Man of the Town is the best Twitter handle ever, especially if you know Triplett. I love that so much. It's the best. Matt.
What?
Exactly. Rob.
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers. I am on YouTube at Flailthroughs. This week's toy review is the in-action offshoot Heavy Metal Elgheim, which, if you're interested in that, you'll know what all that means, and if not, you won't. And as always, you can find XV and my Transformers reviews on YouTube at TFormersCV.
Nice. And John?
I'm that John D on Twitter. By the way, speaking of Twitter,
yeah,
I was toying with the idea of doing a segment that was basically called hashtag Transformers, and I would read funny or weird tweets.
Do it.
That people have done with the hashtag Transformers is the most disappointing search I've had in a while. People need to step up their Transformer tweeting game because hashtag Transformers is Dullsville. So I'm going to throw down the challenge for people to stuff the ballots. If you want this kind of segment, you guys are going to have to put your weird hat on and tweet some stuff with hashtag Transformers or I'll never find it.
I'll do right my Taobao at
right now,
hashtag
that's fine.
Transformers.
That would be an improvement. Right now, it's a weird mix of like auction tweets and Ben Yee musings. That's about it.
That alone should be, you know, very interesting reading right there from our friend Ben.
We love Ben. It occurred to me about 5 minutes ago that I did not prep for the Transformers Bad Poets Corner segment, but I could real quick. Let's see here. Let me check Google Groups and actually just find one of my old poems from like the 1990s. But yeah, let's do. Let me kill some time here. Google Groups.
Is it going to be like really 90s, like with a bunch of like off color humor and extreme isms in it?
Let's see.
Is that kind of 90s.
Maybe not. Let's see here.
It's not Attitude Era, Brian Kilby.
It is not Attitude. Okay. Here. That's
Attitude Era Kilby like 2005.
Yeah,
he was a little behind the curve then.
Is this did Aaron Bourquet did something? What was that? More prime than I did a poem called "More Prime Than Prime" at some point. Oh my god! Let me read this.
I was about to say, is this one of those things where you look at your writing from like 20 years ago and go, "Oh my god, I want to die"?
Pretty much. Let's see here. Maybe I won't get this out this week.
It's certainly feeling that way.
Yeah. It's a shame.
This is great podcasting right now.
It is phenomenal. It is phenomenal podcasting. Oh, God. Here it is. Okay. This one's longer. I should do it. Should I do it in the Happy Day form?
Yes.
Yes.
We agreed.
Okay. So this was posted. Okay, y'all. This is a poem that I wrote back in August 19th. The year 2000. So that was almost 17 years ago, y'all. That was a long time ago. So, it's a little rough. It's not quite what I'd write now, but you gotta feel it. So, it's called Transform. Transform. When in trouble. When in doubt. Transform. Transform. When an evil calls you out. Transform. When you know that you must fight, turn darkest hour into light. Transform. 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 There you go. That's from me to you across space and time. And next week's we'll talk about more Prime than Prime, which is another poem I did, and it'll touch your heart. I know it touched mine. So hope y'all have a good podcast week, and we'll be back same podcast time, same podcast channel. And I just want to thank y'all for being a listener, and I want to thank y'all for being my friend. So we'll see you later. Have a good one. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?